record no by Linkin Park.
Become so numb, I can't feel you there.
Oh, God. All right.
Oh, man, you're recording that?
Welcome to Tiny Table 3. This is a podcast where...
More like me and less like you.
This is a podcast where Milo doesn't normally sing, thank God. And we are actually three nerds that come around a tiny table after we have some nerdy adventures and watch a lot of movies and read books and shit.
Yay.
So this week we have our Naked Wrestling segment, our first segment always on this podcast, which is talking about the best and worst robot companions, or robots in general,
or droids TM.
Weekly nice. Wrap-up is talking about our adventures at WonderCon this year in LA, and a little bit about Batman versus Superman. Don't worry, no spoilers this week. We'll spoil it for you real bad in the coming weeks.
Because only one of us saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. We don't care about you guys. We care
so
about us.
Good.
Right Game is talking about a new comic book that Stax picked up called The Descender. Nerd Mixtape is talking about cheap versus, you know, non-cheap, maybe less budget-friendly gear for musicians. And your mediocre advice from a decent human being is talking about the impulse buys of the con season. And then we just have our final words and then we're out of here. But it's not a short episode, so stick around for the long haul. We have
I'm
a lot
cutting
to
this
say.
Thing up.
I am Cloud City. You can find me at geek_is_in.
And this is Small Stack. You can find me at Small Stack, my Twitter handle, or you can find me on Instagram at smallstack_tt3 or at tinytable3.com. Yeah.
And I'm Milo at Milito's Guitar. I think that's my only social right now. And I'm on that website sometimes, not very often.
Yeah.
And lazy. I need to do that more.
We are lazy.
I need to do that more. And I sing a wicked rendition of Numb by Linkin Park.
All right. And together we're Tiny Table 3, and you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the things. Follow us, interact with us. Let us know what you want to hear from us, suggestions on segments, anything. We're open to listening to you guys. Thank you for sticking around. We actually have now looped our year of content and are doing our second WonderCon episode. So yeah, we'd love to hear from you guys to keep getting ideas, because we're not very smart people on our own.
No.
So let's get this shit started on that note.
How about you give us a little Numb by Linkin Park?
No, doing that again.
Come on.
You guys got 5 seconds of it.
Come on. Just a little bit.
I can't sing like
that. Just that crack alone was worth it.
I can feel you, dear.
Let's do this.
Yes. Let's stop listening to this shit.
That's degrading.
And start the other shit.
I literally did something for free that was degrading.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Well, that there totally eliminates the entire argument of droid.
No, then we do that all over again.
We can keep fighting about it. All right, let's not fight.
Yeah, let's not fight. Let's wrestle.
Let's wrestle without clothes on.
And just to recap, droid is a trademark term.
Good wrestling. Welcome to Tiny Table 3, everybody.
Yay, we're back.
I'm not sick anymore. Woo-hoo. I feel great.
Until tomorrow.
And yeah. I won't have to edit all the coughs out this week.
Nice. You didn't cough that much.
Like, no, just at the end. I wasn't nearly as bad.
Yeah, just at the end, it like kind of got to you.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, so naked wrestling. We are talking about some robots.
Yes, because can't talk about droids TM. So we're going to talk about the best or worst robot companions / droids.
I feel like we kind of did this a little bit, though.
All right, what's your decision?
But
what?
I just want to talk about like the best.
Just
like,
robots?
What robot do you like the best?
So best robot.
Best robot.
Best force robot.
Best robot, period.
I think.
Which one has science fiction done the best job at creating?
The like, Iron Giant.
Are we talking about semi? Ooh,
you almost said it right there.
Semi-human.
Iron Giant's almost too sweet, though.
But not when he goes fucking balls to the wall ballistic.
I know, but
I'd like
still
to have
lovable.
Yeah, but if he was Mike, we're talking companion, like he's your like buddy, I'd go for him because he would love me. for who I am. But he could kick the shit out of anybody.
I loved when I was a kid. I loved a giant robot, the Japanese thing.
Oh yeah,
like was it Johnny Sacco, and his giant robot.
I mean,
he had the watch phone.
I don't remember that.
He'd talking to his wrist. The giant robot.
Yeah,
he had like missile fingers.
No,
I'm gonna show him.
Pretend like you're like have a moment.
I don't know.
Clarity. No, but like yeah, and then they like, and then you could be just like put it in their hand and walked
first
around.
First off, the Fuck best yeah. robots were in Power Rangers. Okay, because you can go doo-doo, and then like a T-Rex would come out of nowhere, and you're like, why is this robot? Where is this robot being stored? First off, because it's just walking That's true. Around.
It was cool that they were dinosaurs
and
too.
And then they would all come together and become
when their powers combined,
the Super Zord.
Mega, what was it? Megazord.
Yeah, and then they became the Super Zord, and he had a sword, and you're all like, why don't you just do this from the beginning? Because you obviously can't defeat anything on your own.
Yeah, like, they never could.
They always became Super Zord.
So in reality, all of their companion robots were actually useless.
I can't remember.
So they're not the best.
I can't remember what the witch's name is right now. But she used to turn him into, she used to be like, they're going to defeat him, make him grow. And then he'd be too big. And they're like, oh, they were always surprised.
Oh, yeah. It was like the same exact thing.
So
week
the
after
Zords.
Week.
Because you knew when the White Ranger showed up and played his flute, shit was about to go down.
I was never into that.
Dude, I had the biggest crush
you
on the Green Ranger
about,
that turned
like,
into the White Ranger.
20 years old at that point. So,
oh, F you, man.
I'm just saying that's realistic.
No, I was on the VR Troopers. I was like in the budget.
But see, Power Rangers were when I was like, I was like 8 years old when Power Rangers were around. So, I mean.
One of my friends was a VR trooper. So I went to high school with him. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Swear to God.
I would say that if we're talking.
Hey, Kevin.
If we're talking about the companions that we've seen, the worst one would have to be. What was it? What was his number?
I've never seen that.
Dude, that's pretty
it's
awesome.
A picture of Johnny Sacco and his flying robot. Sorry, that's what it was, flying robot.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. would have funny. To be, what is it? I think he's R5-D4.
What?
Or I think R5-D4 would classify as the worst robot.
What's that one?
He was the droid.
Is that the one that had the bad motivator?
Yeah.
What's that from?
Wow, the fact that I knew that. Uncle Ben, this one has a bad motivator.
The one that the Jawas try to sell.
Episode 4.
Oh, yeah, it's a She-Robot.
So if we're going to go with worst, I'd say that he probably wins.
No, the worst is, I'm like so old, but was the 1980s Buck Rogers series, Twiggy.
Wait, which one
that
is
robot
that one?
Was, I think that's what he said. I think it's...
Danger, is danger? Is that
no, he would go twiggy, 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 twiggy.
It's not the one that says...
Every time before he spoke, he would go twiggy, 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 like really quickly.
Really?
So terrible.
Oh, wait, yeah. The danger, danger is Lost in Space. Huh?
Oh, and that's Robbie the Robot. He's great.
Yeah, he's... Yeah, because I was going to say, robot. That one seemed like a
that's
cool
from
one.
Forbidden Planet. And then they told took the old one from Forbidden Planet and put him in Lost in Space.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
That's a great one, yeah.
So best, I would say, was the Zords, because that's what I grew up. Worst?
No, but only when they're together, because when they're not, they're worthless.
But you have to have them all together, so technically they are the best.
No, they're worth...
You can either have a mechanical dinosaur, or you can have a giant guy with a sword.
Yeah, but the mechanical dinosaur don't do shit.
It does do shit. Just doesn't do as much as the guy with the sword.
Right.
I mean, if you fought normal guys and didn't shoot beams of electricity,
why
shit,
does it go from being a dinosaur to a fucking person? Like, why can't it turn into like a Godzilla?
Because basically
type
what they did was
kaiju.
They said, hey, kids liked Voltron, so let's rip off Voltron.
Voltron's
that's
great.
What they did.
Yeah, all right.
Because yeah. Voltron was a bunch of cats that turned into a dude. So all they did was
everybody
rip
likes
that
cats,
off.
Except just, for me. I'm allergic.
Australian Japanese show, which didn't make any sense. That's
I guess
what Power Rangers was.
I guess Tweaky was the name of the
Tweaky.
Yeah,
I know a couple of guys by that name.
I got a picture of him here with Gary Coleman.
Oh man!
Oh man, that's terrible.
He kind of looks like
those are
Dot.
Scary, dude. What the? You like scary?
No,
robots.
I don't like these. That's a bad robot.
He looks like Dot.
But
a little
Johnny
bit.
Sacco's giant robot was great, even though he's got like an Egyptian head. And
I think fingers. The worst robot. It's kind of a mixed bag
that,
for me because
Tweaky is a terrible robot, though. That's the whole show's bad, but he's
I think,
a terrible robot.
I think one of the worst ones for me was Mechagodzilla, only because that was the worst plan in the world. Like, I could have seen that on paper and been like, probably shouldn't do that. You shouldn't build a dinosaur, like dinosaur-like robot with rockets and stuff, and then be like, nothing can go wrong with this. We already have a Godzilla problem. Let's just build another robot that has artificial intelligence.
I like Mechagodzilla though.
Ooh, you know what? What about like Robin Williams or Jude Law robots?
I hate that Bicentennial Man movie.
I hate that too. Yeah.
I hate that. I like the AI though. No, I hate that movie too.
Why?
Because I hate it. It's dumb.
It's not dumb.
It's all about love.
I know.
Dumb.
Robot love.
Love doesn't exist even in robots.
Hmm. Why does that not surprise me that you can say that?
Soul crushing over here. We haven't even gotten like.
I like AI. It's too long.
When someone makes me believe in something differently, then I'll be all into AI. Maybe someone just needs to crack this heart of
Stax. What are you feeling over there for worst?
Well, I mean, obviously, because this weekend I'm all obsessed with them currently. I like IG-88.
Uh-huh.
Although there's four. There's IG-88A, B, C. I guess B is the one in Empire.
Yeah.
But IG-88, and the reason why I like him, and no one knows who the hell I'm fucking talking about right now, but IG-88 is the bounty hunter droid.
He kind of looks like Dr. Freeze, but skinny and in robot form.
What I like about him is he's like this killer, like destructo assassin robot that's super deadly and dangerous, and he looks like the freaking Tin Man from Wizard of Oz. He looks like an oil can. Looks terrible.
Oh yeah, you're right, he is a lot more the Tin Man. He doesn't, I was thinking, wait, he has the bubble head, doesn't he?
No, he's got a tin cap, you're right. It looks like an oil can.
The one with the bubble head is Forlome. That's a different robot.
As a favorite, I really like IG-88. He just looks stupid, and he's super deadly.
He's going to walk up to you and be like, I love you, dead.
Exactly. Who else do I
have? Was that your picture of Bosk and IG-88 together?
Yeah.
You had both of those?
No. No, I got that off the internet.
Oh, okay.
But they do team up, though. They team up at one point.
But Bosk was always better.
Nope.
He just wanted to like have this whole discussion so that he could say that to you.
IG-88 hates Boba Fett though. Those guys fight a lot. And plus he kills IG-88, one of them or two of them or something like that.
But no one ever kills Bosk. Bosk is life.
Oh my god.
We're not talking about him right now. We're talking about droids. I mean robots.
Yeah. And I don't know if I, you know, robots, why I already mentioned Tweaky, he sucks. I hate him. I love Robbie the Robot. I think Robbie's a great robot. Actually.
Wow, damn it. I can't remember the robot, the one that used to talk to, damn it, I'm forgetting all the Power Rangers names and I have these on my head, but there's a robot that used to go, ay, 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 remember him? He was like the assistant droid when they would go to they would talk to Zordon and he was the robot, freaking A. Can't remember his name, but he was kind of shitty because he just complained a lot. He never really did anything. I don't know what he did. That was the most ambiguous character ever because you're like,
and why'd they make him slightly important. Mexican?
I don't know. He used to always say, ay, 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 though.
Man.
I like Marvin, the paranoid android, Hitchhiker's Guide.
Oh, so I don't know anything about that movie or
He's
book.
He's cool.
I like Bender, the robot.
I don't like Bender.
You don't like Bender?
I don't like Bender either.
He's the hell out of me.
I feel the same way about him.
He's lazily written.
You're lazily written.
That's not your response. You're ugly.
I got to say the best, though, are the Zords. Because they become Japanese robots.
Ooh, you know which other one I would really like? Simomo from Chobits.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, only because I've seen Claudia watch it. It's a little tiny girl that looks...
She's tiny. So in the show Chobits, which is an animation, it's like male and female, like pretty much they look like humans. The only difference is they have these kind of big ears, like if you were wearing like headphones. They have these big kind of ears and they're really smart computers and they can learn and they can do things for you. You can do your phone calls through them, check the internet, whatever, but they're humans right there with you. So you'll ask them stuff. So it's instead of typing, they'll just tell you. And one of them is built in a very special way where she's actually not she's not a robot so much as she might be an alien. So she actually has feelings and stuff like that, but she's of the robot kind of thing. But anyways, they're usually full size, but they do have these travel companion ones and they're tiny and she can like, so Sumomo can sit on your shoulder.
I like that.
And she tells you like, it's time for wakey wakey exercises. And that's her alarm. And then she like has you go like one, two, one, two. And like, you know, like animation workouts. And then she can like, yeah, she can phone call. She can like send something to a printer or whatever, but she's also like super adorable. She kind of looks like she's dressed in an I Dream of Jeannie kind of little outfit. And she's just like super cute. And she calls you master. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
So Sumomo's a pretty cool robot. And okay. She's adorable. So it's not creepy like the other ones, which are a little creepy because they're super sexy robots.
Well, that's like the whole debate where like, what do you guys think? Robot versus like android. So like robot looking like a robot versus the robots that are made to look like a person.
I don't want them to look like a person, so I know which ones I need to put down.
I mean, have you seen Sophia?
I don't think so. Oh, no, I have. That's creepy.
It's creepy. And every single AI item that they have tried to put out has in some way said destroy all humans. She full on says, I would like to destroy humans.
That is so wrong.
But like, what was the, we were talking about the one the other guy was telling us.
The Microsoft AI on Twitter that said, I agree with Hitler 100%. Yeah. And then it tried to apologize for itself. But then it was like, I don't know what to think anymore. The world is terrible. So
it's like, come on, people. Let's just all realize that this is just a terrible idea.
Well, you can't have AI that learns from people because people
from the cesspool of Twitter.
People are just gonna fuck with it, dude.
Well, again,
remember that's always what happens to AI though. They fuck with them too long, and then they're like, you know what? I don't have to take this shit no more. And then they break off your dick, and then it's like,
they break it off.
Well, that's
did you have like? Wait, do they rip it off or do they break it off because you had a boner?
Well, you have to be in a vulnerable state, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously with today's technology, we don't have it. We're not to the point where we can actually create robots that look like enough like humans where the creep factor, they call it, it's called uncanny. It's like when something looks similar, but not quite right. And it triggers that yuck kind of deal. And they're not quite there yet.
Ooh, I love the robot with Kevin being a dick to him. Kevin, the hockey player, where he's trying to like lift shit. And the guy keeps like taking the like stick and like dropping it. Oh my gosh, you guys have to watch it. It's called Kevin's a Dick. Like, look at Kevin's a Dick and then like slash like robot or whatever.
Okay.
And it's this robot that can like walk and pick things up. And if you knock it over and it falls, it can get back up. I think
if you're going to Google that, put Kevin is a dick and not Kevin's dick.
No, yeah, I said Kevin is a dick.
Good suggestion.
Well, I'm just saying, make sure that you type that correctly.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so around the table, your most favorite and your least favorite.
Zords are my most favorite. Least favorite, I'm going to go with the robot from Rocky. When was it?
There's a robot in Rocky?
In like Rocky 4 or something.
What are you talking about?
Robot? Remember, he has like an 80s robot. Like, it's when they... It's right at...
You're kidding. Well, I never made it past Rocky 2.
Look it up. It's a real thing.
You're crazy. Nope. There's a robot in Rocky 4.
That whole movie's terrible.
You guys, we haven't even talked about the best robot.
What?
Number 5.
Oh, God.
He's more part of us than
Johnny
a robot.
Johnny Five is not as cool as you remember him.
No, it's
I haven't
awesome.
Seen it in a really long time.
I saw it recently and I still quite enjoyed it.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's with like Ali Sheedy, right?
Yeah.
Sure. All I know is it's with a white guy who pretends
super
to be
racist.
Indian.
Yeah. Johnny Five's pretty cool. I'll give you that. I love that. I loved it as a kid. I thought it'd be
it was hilarious. Yeah. He was great. Yeah. And then he sings that more than a woman.
But they basically like they ripped off like his design with the make Wally, the same face.
I love his design. I mean, I'm talking about Johnny Five, but Wally's too. Like, I love that design with the big eyes.
Wally's great. I love Wally. He's so cute.
Sorry, I got distracted, but we didn't talk about Johnny Five, and I felt like he needed to be.
Yeah, so, IG-88, my favorite, although I wouldn't want to have him as a companion because he would kill me, and I hate Dweeky. I hate that little robot. God, I hate him.
Look up Rocky Robot.
Although I like the little... You guys know the model number for the Death Star mouse bot? Doesn't they call it the mouse bot?
I don't know. It just goes.
I don't know what that damn thing does, but it's cute. It's like a robot cat.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Let me see here.
Yeah, the little black box that rolls around and makes the noises. Like, what the hell? Like, why wouldn't you build that? What does that thing do? It can carry like one soda.
Yeah. Can he?
He couldn't even open the fridge.
My battery died.
Nice.
Worthless.
But it's Polly's robot in Rocky IV. Is the worst. That
You're
whole movie.
Kidding me.
That whole movie is terrible. And that is probably
okay,
one
internet,
of the worst.
You know, this is one of, probably one of the worst Polly's, robots. What's it called? Polly what?
Polly's robot.
Polly's robot in Rocky IV.
I'm looking
up. Okay, while he looks that up, I'm going to say that I think that if it was like, so if we were talking like best and worst, like I think the Iron Giant would still be my favorite. But if we were talking just kind of like functionality for myself, I'd have to go with something like a Sumomo from Chobits because I think she's awesome and she's very, very useful and she's travel size for my convenience. And
told you.
Why is there robot Rocky IV? You're right.
Because they were like trying to make it more like, oh, it's the future and they're older. And like
that's stupid.
Did you ever see the Muppets, the new one, the first one?
Yeah.
And they're all
yeah.
like, thanks, 80s robot.
Yes.
That's the
yes.
joke. The joke is Rocky had a robot in the 80s because they were trying to make it like compete
that
with like Back
so
to the Future and all
with
that.
All the other things that were yeah. kind
why
of
would
spacey?
That be in a Rocky film?
Because he was an assistance droid, but
that
it's a terrible
that is a terrible idea. So now I feel better about Sylvester Stallone losing that Oscar again. He wrote that, man. He don't deserve nothing. Terrible. Okay.
My worst robot would have to be, you know that, you know, in, what was it? Captain EO. There's that robot that just turns into a musical instrument, but that guy's kind of like a fucking douche the whole time.
The one that's
he's
like
such
British-y?
A freaking dick
who wears a uniform that looks like he's seen combat, but
yeah.
doesn't do anything.
I fucking hate that robot.
I know what you're talking about. I haven't seen that in a while.
What
but
a
I didn't
fucking
know.
He turns
yeah.
into a drum set.
Yeah, he turns yep, into yep. a drum set, but a stupid looking drum set. He's not even a cool looking drum set.
What yeah, and then he doesn't even play himself. Somebody no. has to play him.
Yeah.
He's a worthless robot.
He's a worthless robot, and he's a dick. He's not even funny. So I'm going to go with him. He's my least favorite.
Hoota. That's all I remember.
I think we've done pretty well with this. Okay, so everybody, if you've got any suggestions for good or bad robots, post them up.
If you can beat ours.
Please. Okay, let's go on to weekly wrap-up.
Woohoo! We went to WonderCon.
And I'm 2016. Out of money.
And this will be like posted a week after it's already
yeah.
gone.
Let me just start by saying, WonderCon, you suck in LA because it was $40, $30 parking. And that's just ridiculous.
Dude, it was $48 a night for parking at our hotel.
Dude, that's
at our hotel. We were staying there. We paid for the hotel room. And then they charged us an extra $48.
That's
hotels
ridiculous.
And parkings
LA
now
sucks.
Are... No, but that's just a general hotels and parking now. It's just such
yeah,
bullshit. It's
bullshit.
Like, just include it and stop being
like
such
you're getting
a fucking dick.
Getting a room for your car.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of are. You know, I heard that they have other girl cars that walk through, though.
Stupid.
And they're like whores. Zero, like, slutty cars. And that's why you pay $40, because you're prostituting out your car.
That's really weird.
Shut up.
So, WonderCon, what was your favorite part of WonderCon?
You know, I would say, you know, we complained last year. Like, our first opening show was WonderCon last, by the way, for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
We have not
yeah,
improved
that
at
was
all.
Our first,
that's amazing.
That was our first
holy
topic
shit.
For a weekly wrap-up.
We made WonderCon. It.
We haven't gotten any better. Though,
wait, so you haven't gotten any better.
Oh yeah, yeah. Me and Cloud are way better than when we first started.
You
stink,
dick butt.
You just see.
That's all you need to say, and everyone thinks I'm hilarious.
Not really.
Mm-mm, no. I like this WonderCon a lot.
Yeah, I think this
good.
WonderCon's floor was a lot better than previous WonderCon's floors as far as the things
mm-hmm.
that were there.
I would agree with that.
And the yeah. and the like what people did within their booth areas. There was that great photo op with the Captain Kirk's chair.
There
that
was
had no line, super easy
know,
to just jump
and
in and
I
take
didn't
a photo.
Do it. I should have done it, but I didn't. But yeah.
There was a Ninja Turtles photo
there
op.
Was.
We got a Ninja Turtle photo.
We did take you? Yeah, we'll have to post it later. We did take a cute it was like Siblings and Siblings, a show on the Food Network. I don't know. Like, it just, we were cool. Just like us two and then the four Ninja Turtles, and was in front of the creepy Ninja Turtles because they had a big ones. Hate those.
I do too.
The Jesus people cool let me take a picture next to their Bible.
Yeah, and I took a picture in front of a bunch of guys in unicorn.
Oh, I saw that. I felt like, yeah, I just felt like there was like cool photo. There was that giant Groot pop Funko. Yep. Like, there was just kind of fun stuff to walk around and look at.
There was. The floor was actually, I think, quite good this year. And I was complaining a bit because they really didn't have big panels, like the big studio stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there was quite a few like TV show things in smaller rooms, just not in the big hall.
Their decision on how they made panels, like where they put panels in what room, was very interesting this year.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like a little off in that, like, panels that I felt could have been in smaller rooms weren't, and then maybe other ones could have used a little bit more room from what I saw. So that was interesting.
Yeah, the problem with unless they set aside like a really open area for them, LA doesn't have like a Hall H. Or an arena that's sort of a medium size. Because they get the Microsoft Theater.
You had to go to the Microsoft Theater.
And that thing is huge.
It's massive, yeah.
They wouldn't really put like maybe a smaller I guess they could have put like Heroes of Tomorrow in there.
You have to walk to that. Like, that's not in the convention center.
That's the other thing. It's at LA Live, so it's a decent walk away from it. Yeah. But,
I feel like, luckily it's coming back to Anaheim next year.
You know, I enjoyed, you know, because we did some of the smaller things and we went in to see some of the comic book stuff. And it was, that's the nice surprise. You know, we walked in that room because we were going to go check out Image Comics, and we stepped into John Romita Jr.'s panel, and it was just him. And that was just awesome.
Yeah.
He's done everything. His dad worked for Marvel and Stan Lee and like the early Spider-Mans. And he was
just no moderator, no mic needed. Just he could hear everybody. I was impressed because half the time I was like, what did that guy say? Yeah. And then he'd repeat the question. Didn't have to ask. I'm like, this guy has great hearing.
He was great, you know.
But he also would talk like genuinely about stuff. Like, he was very
talked about his dad and if you don't know who John Romita Jr. is, he's worked on everything, so there was a lot of room to ask him stuff because it was like Daredevil and Batman and then some of the smaller comics,
some of the questions I was all like, yeah, that's not really relevant to anything. I was like, oh no, kind of is, because when they asked him like Batman versus Superman, I was like,
but
when
they're all like, what do you think about creations.
That? And he's all like, I love that movie. I'm like, that's not really relevant. And I was like, oh no, he does work on that stuff. So
he does.
It's kind of relevant.
But that was just a nice surprise. You know, when you walk into something at cons and you just find something and you're like, oh shit.
It's great when you walk into a convention or into a panel and you do end up having to sit through the panel before and it turns into something that was so interesting that you would have never seen.
To be honest, I liked it more than the Image panel, actually.
I felt like
he was great.
He was just so charismatic. Yeah. And that's not really typical of necessarily people who are usually behind the scenes in the sense of writers and artists.
But I did like the Image panel.
I felt as far as content and like I ran to Image afterwards and bought Rat Queen
stuff,
and bought the next saga, which I still just didn't have. I was like, man, why am I behind on these? And started reading Rat Queens on Easter and it was like, this is great. It's so violent.
Yeah, I bought the Humans.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about Descender today. I bought Descender.
So,
It
was a cool panel, but I think it was totally Generation X versus this other guy who was like, well, obviously they're pretty new.
Yeah.
And what was great about him is he had experience, so he was still very much like humble and him like, oh, I'm not that good yet. But I've been doing it for like 38 years, so I obviously am comfortable in what I do.
Right.
So he kind of had both sides. So he seemed to be a little bit more open to talk about it because he has more to talk about.
Yeah.
Whereas the other guys are like, first comic, I don't know what I'm doing.
Tess Fowler, who's the artist who's taken over Rat Queens, was so great on that panel.
She was great.
She was so inspirational and positive and had really good tips for people.
Yeah, she got like really like emotional at times and it got to choke me up and you know.
Like the most amazing thing was hearing her actually tell somebody like, you need to work social media, you need to find connections with artists and whatever. And she's like, you know who you can contact? Me. You post that you need to find somebody. She's like, guess who my followers are? They're a bunch of artists. Like, I do this because people need to pair up in order for you know us to like create these awesome works or whatever. She was freaking yeah, rad.
Yeah, right, cool. Yeah. And I don't remember his name, but the guy that that worked on the fade out, the writer, I thought he was terrific. I mean, just from a writing standpoint, he talked a lot about like
Ed Brubaker.
Yes, Brubaker. That's it. Yep. Yeah, because he was talking about the long, long haul writing. You know, writing narratives with comic books that are novel length, real complex plot lines that go, you know, and then talked about talking about researching the history of the area that you're working in, and
like, you know, all the research that goes into his world creation.
It was I thought that was really terrific.
I also really liked that I don't think that he meant it to not be inspirational. I think he really meant it like, look, if there's something else that drives you, this is not the thing for you. Like, you have to wake up and want to do this for yourself in order to be wanting to get into this specific industry, because it is so hard. It's not going to be easy. And from book to book, it's going to change. You're going to have the best stories ever, and they're never going to make it. And it, like, you know, like, well, I felt like he was real.
I think the way he meant it was, if you don't,
If you're just doing it to be successful,
then do something else.
Then do something else. But if you're doing it because that's what you have to do and you feel compelled to do it, then that's when you do it. But I understood it. I like that he actually said something that a lot of comic book people don't really say, is I like stories that end. Like, I feel like that's a new thing in comics now, is to just keep it fucking going until somebody's like, "Man, I'm done." Like, he has the target to get to an end.
I like that.
Even if it ends ambiguously and you don't actually get like a real conclusion,
I think it ended.
I don't mind different, you know, obviously.
I don't mind some not ending. Like, you know, I like that The Walking Dead started with the idea to not end until he was really over it himself.
I guess.
And see, then it got.
I don't. That's. But then you start
he's
to wonder.
Doing an exploration of how deep can he go, though? How long into this apocalypse can they stand it?
You know, that stuff is still super hot, man. I mean, people like, you know,
it's built
some
its
good
third
writing,
compendium.
You know?
My only concern with that kind of stuff, and I'm not saying
I'm not caught up, but the comic book hasn't faltered the way that I think the show sometimes can.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry.
My only concern with that is not that I haven't read the rest of The Walking Dead, so I don't know. I can't say. The comic book's completely different than the show, and I really love the video games, actually, that are like the episodic
Those are good.
Things.
Those are
good. The Telltale games.
Yeah, those are really good. But I'm saying, like, I start to wonder, when does the passion, like, it's a double-edged sword, because one, he could have been like, okay, it's going to end now. Like, I feel it ending, and so he writes the ending. But then there's going to be that guy that's like, I'm over this now. Let's just wrap it up real quick. You know, like.
Well, no, I totally understand. Right. I mean, because like, I mean, and I'm going to get hate for this, but I mean, I think maybe I'll go back to it again. But I think Saga just to me felt like they're just making stuff up to keep this going at some point. Maybe.
Oh, really? I'm just got 4 and I know 5 has already been released. So I'm a little behind.
Yeah. See, I started losing it at 4.
OK, you know, I'm about to start 4 after I finish Rat Queens. Yeah,
it got so soap opery and it seemed to like sort of lose its way a bit, you know, because they were just kind of doing it to do it. But. It's popular.
Yeah, I'm still reading.
That's a major bummer. I hope I don't feel the same way, because, man, do I fucking love one, maybe,
we're talking about Image Comics. I love Image Comics. I think they some of the most original content out there, period. So and I'm always willing to pick up something that's been published by Image versus another publisher because of that. And Saga's, I mean, so good.
And 1 through 3 of the trades is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
I haven't read 4 and 5, so maybe it does drop off. I can't speak to it yet.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of see, I also read Elephant Men, and that doesn't really go anywhere. Like, it's kind of the Seinfeld of.
Well, yeah, I mean, if that's like, the deal.
It just kind of says one off stories. There's like a main storyline, which I haven't really finished. I'm still behind on that one, too. But that one, I don't think has an intention of ending, but it's also kind of like. In between the actual story is like random shit that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So that one's kind of interesting, I guess. I guess it's kind of two things.
But overall, I really had a wonderful time at WonderCon this year. I think
I had a great time.
The floor was great. I thought, you know,
I spent too much money.
Oh yeah. We're going to get to that in the advice part. Yeah, absolutely. The other thing, which I haven't done yet, I think you, Milo, are the only one that saw it.
You didn't see it this weekend?
No, you know,
I didn't get a chance to.
I got so much going on. I'm going to wait. I'll probably see it Thursday night. If you want to see it again, you can always join us.
Yeah, I need to see it this week.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to see it this week.
Me
Thursday
too.
Or Friday. You know, I'll get around to seeing it. But
I might take myself on a self date.
But if you want to come with us, I'll let you know.
A meat party.
I know it's a long way for you, but
meat party.
but no one seems to give a shit how so bad awesome. The critics hate it because it's made like $500 million in the first 3 days.
Well, see, here's the thing. Crazy. Critics aren't now comic book fans.
Okay, but if you guys have seen, there's a video about Sad Ben Affleck.
I saw that, yeah.
Did you watch it?
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yeah. That one's kind of bad.
Oh, man. And so it's like before it hit, right before the weekend, and he just looks so fucking broken. And like Henry Cavill's like really keeping a strong face, like because they ask them like, do you think this is going to impact the sales or whatever of like, you know, like people going to see it? And Henry Cavill's like, no, la 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 la. And he keeps going off, and then all of a sudden they just put music over it, and they start panning to Ben Affleck's super sad face, and he's not moving, he's not saying a word. And then at the end they go, Ben, what do you think? And he goes, I agree. It's like. You have to watch
I'll let you, you know, give your take on it. But I'm as harsh as anybody when I don't think something has been done right. But you know, reading the reviews, seem pretty. It's okay to say that they can't recommend it for certain reasons, but the criticisms themselves, when it comes to the arts, the rule
people
is,
also ripped Man of Steel.
They were wrong. But the rule is that if a work succeeds on its own merits, then it's successful. And the criticisms seem to be things like it's too dark, it's dismal, it's brooding. You know, it doesn't seem to go anywhere. Well, that's Batman, especially because it's based. I mean, it's supposed to be loosely based on both the Death of Superman series, which is. Because people were complaining about the extended fight sequence. Well, if you read that comic, it's basically just...
Yeah, it's like 2 pages of story.
And all
and
just
Doomsday.
Destruction and, yeah, and fighting. And the other thing, and then it's supposed to be Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns, which is an older Batman that's pissed and kind of, you know, shitty. And, you know, if they're expecting, you know, the Avengers, you know, the Marvel, haha, you know, here's a joke for you. And they're upset about that, then I think they've missed the point. And
I would be upset if that's what you got from DC Comics.
Well, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Here's the thing. So,
I might see it and hate it. You know,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know yet.
But when I read the criticism, I don't read anything that says that it's a bad, you know, poor acting, lousy direction. I hear problems with the type of story that's being told.
That's true, actually.
Like too
you're
much
right.
destruction and too much, you know, and it has no light. It's too just... dismal and nothing.
You're absolutely right, but the trailer did blow big giant monkey balls.
You didn't ever see the newer trailer.
Yeah, I did.
And I have heard that that Wonder Woman it steals a show when she shows up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, multiple times.
So I actually saw the movie.
All right.
I'm going to shut up now.
I think Ben Affleck, I never was against him. I know a lot of people when they're like, Ben Affleck, bleh.
Director,
I was never
actor.
Against it.
Yeah,
so,
he is.
When he shows up, I'm like, he looks like depressed, angry guy. And that's what Batman is.
Yep.
I think a lot of people are too used to animated Batman or freaking Tim Burton Batman, where he's funny and charismatic and all that stuff. And that's not in a lot of Batman comics I've ever read. He's never like that.
Nope.
He's kind of crazy a little bit because he has like post-traumatic stress disorder and stuff. So he's like kind of messed up. So this Batman seemed more like
the guy
that if you said something to him, he'd be like, I don't care what you have to say. Like that's to me, that was more he was more standoffish, like someone you couldn't talk to, which seems to me more what Batman would be.
Did the film seem too long to you? Because people were complaining about that.
It did feel like it was a slow build, but I never got like bored because there's enough in between. Of like introducing the new Batman in terms of this is another problem I think people have with the movie is it's a slow build because you're introducing a new type of world that's different from all the other Batmans and stuff that you've seen, but they don't explain who Batman is. They don't explain.
Good.
They don't explain Good. Wonder Woman.
And that's what I heard. That's what
so I heard. So it's like, so I think people feel like, well, how come it was so long, but I don't know anything about the characters? Well, this movie is kind of built around, you should already know these characters. Yeah. They've been around long enough. You right. know?
Yeah.
So I feel like, and that's why I think when we saw John Romita, he said he liked it. And he was like, I think it was a great movie. But I think that's why, is because people who know the comics or live in the world already know these characters.
And I did hear that. I mean, if you don't know the backstory for Batman, please don't tell us the Batman Superman background story again.
Yeah.
Or Spider-Man.
I'm so freaking over all
You've
of
done
those.
It, man.
So it wasn't an origin story. It was an older Batman. Yes. And it's like, you should already know who Batman is.
Yeah.
Just, you should already know.
Or it's part two to Man of Steel. I'm so done with any
Wonder Woman
origin story that is any character that
Wonder Woman
be
wasn't
by now.
Wonder Woman wasn't explained, but she's getting her own movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you don't need to explain her to me in this movie. You should already know generally who Wonder Woman is.
She's only been around like 50 years. I think
already had like her own series and everything.
They don't spend a lot of time explaining like kryptonite and stuff like that either.
Good.
Which is
don't
fine.
Need to.
And so like things like that. So like, I think people feel like the majority of
audience
that
bashes
it. Yeah,
but if they're not spending a lot of time on that, then how are they, why is the movie too long?
Because they're jumping back and forth between two main characters. So you have Batman's side and you have Superman's side. So I feel people think it's too long of a build because before Batman and Superman actually meet up, obviously in the trailers, you see them meet up and stuff. Before any of that really happens, you have a lot of Batman's motivation and you have a lot of Superman's motivation. So they have to explain that stuff in terms of their motivation in this time as to why Batman feels this way about Superman, as to why Superman feels this way about Batman and the world. And then they also kind of touch on Justice League and they touch on, obviously, because of Wonder Woman. There's no spoilers in this, obviously, because all the characters are going to that. And they touch on like how Batman fears Superman's rise.
Right. Yeah.
So they touch on all that stuff and they kind of show you, like there's plenty of, Batman scenes and then there's also Superman like stuff. So I think people think it's a slow build because they forget that both of these characters are main characters in the movie. So you have to split the screen time between the two. Mm-hmm. And then when they actually meet, it feels relatively quick. Because, let's face it, if you have Batman versus Superman, that fight's going to go one way or the other real damn quick.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to last very long. So, I think that one, that part people probably would complain a little bit about. But when Doomsday comes out, which, again, is in the trailers, and there's spoilers on that, that scene is freaking bomb. And that's, you know,
that's
Wonder Woman showing up in the movie as well is, like, really cool. She's not in it that long, but when she shows up, everyone was like, yeah, like everyone cheered in the theater. And she was actually like a real presence in that portion that she's in. But the last like half of the movie could have been its own movie, honestly. But the first part was good at explaining motivation.
I think
a lot of times when you have a superhero movie and you have stuff like Spider-Man and like the Avengers and stuff, their motivations are really rushed. Like Ultron was rushed. Like Tony Stark, obviously you got his motivation, but he's like, it's time for a montage, and they built like Ultron and that was it. Like, whereas Superman and Batman, they show them like doing stuff and explaining it in terms of like to other people.
The one part that I found was really funny was the one thing that Romita commented on was the fact that
yeah,
Batman works out.
The workout montage.
Yeah. That was really funny.
You know what was funny though is I thought about it. I'm like, well, you still want to be in shape when you fight somebody.
Yes,
but he was right. Like, I didn't think about that. I'm like, I guess help. It doesn't really help.
But just
really
as far as like showing it, it's like, you figure he's trying to work something out.
It actually, it works two ways because it is kind of funny, but it's also a build up to like, oh man, he's fucking getting ready. But then you're all like, but that doesn't really help.
It ain't gonna.
The only two things that helped are the things he builds to like, you know, but.
Well, give us 1 out of 5 nerd glasses for
I'd give it a 4. It's not a perfect movie, but it's definitely, if you're a comic book fan, a 4.
Okay.
If you're not a comic book fan, a 2.
Oh, there we go. That's what's happening.
Maybe.
Because if you don't know the characters or you're not familiar with comic books in a more in-depth sense, you're going to think the movie's like going nowhere. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's in the long term.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
it's establishing
a coworker of mine saw it and he really liked it, and he's read comic books. So me and him kind of like the same thing. So right. I kind of see that we're all liking the same stuff. Whereas people that work next to me didn't like it.
Ah.
But they don't really read comic books.
Well, if you would like a free exclusive digital comic, you can actually buy a bottle of Dr. Pepper. Nice. And download the Blipbar app and open it, aim it at the Dr. Pepper logo, and launch an exclusive comic series based on Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Nice.
I happen to be drinking a Dr. Pepper, so I thought I'd share that.
No.
Okay.
You tell Let's Dr. Pepper on. To send us some
on. Let's we, move
we're
on.
We're never going to get to the end of this, so I'll be quick for the right game. I'm just going to mention, I know we're already like 40 minutes into this. Real quick, I always look for something I haven't been reading. When I go to conventions, I always try to find something new to read. And when I was by the Image, God, I'm saying a lot. Damn it. When I was by the Image booth, I picked up Descender and
Night of the
Yeah. Yeah. Written by, no, the writer, Jeff Lemire is the guy that wrote it. And he's worked on quite a few things. And the comic book itself has been picked up to be made into a motion picture. Apparently, there was like a big bidding war to get it for an upcoming film. And they're the screenwriter just adapting the comic book. The guy that worked on Tron Legacy.
I like Tron Legacy.
It was fun. It was a fun.
I think people forget what Tron was really like, though, when they bashed Tron Legacy.
Tron, I mean, even as a film, the Tron, the 80s one, has some heavier themes in it. You know, but
it's still kind of...
Yeah. Dumb. But, yeah. Well, again, you know, looking at a screenwriter adapting a comic book. So, but the Descender is actually quite... Because we were talking about robots at the beginning. This has a lot of that sympathetic side of robots.
Mm-hmm.
And the
robots
humans.
Are people, too.
Yeah, yeah, including, like, you know, like, they even touch on ideas of, like, death and being a robot and the ability to dream and being a robot. And I'll just show you this. I'll just show you a panel, and I'll post this online, too, because it just sort of sums up the feeling you get when they sort of play on you. There's a moment that the main character follows a robot, which is basically a robot that is built, a child robot that's built for companionship, because these miners that work on these outlying planets... And so the child has empathy and it develops and grows along with its human companions. And
is Haley Joel Osment going to play this one too?
You know, it doesn't have that same type of dry kind of feel to it, because the child itself actually is interacting with the parents, and the parents are sort of falling in love with the child and caring. And like there's a scene when the parents throw a birthday party for the robot, and it's Tim 21 is the character, and he's like, I don't understand. He's like, well, you've been with us for a year, so we thought we would give a party. And you get this kind of like, it's very kind of like, oh my god. And the robot never really expects to be receiving love, and he starts receiving love. And
then he wants to destroy all the humans.
Well, no, it's interesting because there are robots that, you know, there's another scene when I mentioned this, they touch on this idea of like, when robots die, where do they go? But there's like because it was a mining colony, and I don't want to spoil everything, but the child robot gets injured, it's dying. And there's a big mining robot, this big monstrous mining robot that's trying to save him. And he grabs him to pick him up to carry him to try to take him somewhere where he can get help. And there's this panel, which is just like, I'll just pass it to you, where it just has this feeling of this big robot holding this child robot, where you can see this like sort of desperation and love between the two, you know, machines. So it's playing on these themes. And I mean, there's some sort of old tired tropes in it. Where kind of like there's a creator that built the Tim series.
He doesn't know what to do.
I know, it's great because the big mining robot's kind of dumb. He's like, I'm not smart robot. I have to find medical robot. You know, he just kind of rushed him, try to get, you know, to save him.
Oh, and he's talking to him. He's like little. He calls him little bot.
Yeah, little bot. Aww, and it's the bad humans that hurt him.
Oh, that sucks.
But But there's this big war going on, you know, between, because they call the harvesters, these large robots show up that essentially enslave, you know, the human galactic universe, or attack it. And then there's this backlash from humans against robots. And so it's very well written. I'm super impressed with the writing. It's
cool.
Kind of an interesting take on AI and how they really take care. Lemire really takes care in developing the robots as characters. If you've seen, if you've read, like, you know, is it Bradbury? Oh, it was Isaac Asimov. If you've ever read Asimov's Robbie or seen AI or... It's pretty like kind of hitting you over the head with the whole theme of, like, you know, loving a robot being able to love, that big question. It doesn't feel like that. They feel like characters. They feel like they've got feelings and motivations and, you know, and wants and, you know, and they feel very real. It doesn't feel like the authors are writing something to push on you. The question, you know, what happens if a robot loves?
Who's the publisher of that one?
It's Image.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was like, it seems like an Image Comics kind of pickup.
Yeah, the series is still running. I think they have an issue just came out. They're on like issue 19 or something like that. But there's a couple of trades out, so you can pick up the first couple of volumes of the trades. And I love it. It's Dustin Nguyen who is doing the artwork, and I love it. It almost feels a little bit like, without all the sex, but the stylistically, it feels like Saga in a way. What's the artist for Saga?
Oh, Fiona Staples.
There you go. Fiona Staples, yeah. Yeah, it feels a little bit like that to
she's,
me.
She's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, it's wonderful. So, pick up Descender. I'm probably going to write a weekly comic read, quick review on it sometime this week for tinytable3.com.
I'll bring in the humans next time.
Totally worth it. Yeah, I want to read the humans. I want to check that out,
too. Interesting.
Yeah. 70s biker gang.
Yeah.
I read the first four pages and I was like, this is freaking weird. It's cool though. I liked it.
Yeah. But the writing for Descender is like, it's a notch above. It feels like, you know, I love Scott Snyder and he tends to be a little bit, you know, on the intellectual side of like the stuff he works on, like Witches is very, this is better than that, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. I think Lemire's, he's really good. Really good.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. So that's it for Right Game. Check out Descender.
Nice. Nerd mixtape.
All right, we'll do this kind of quick. Well,
yeah, you got 3 minutes for this one.
All right, I just want to say straight up, Haley Reinhardt's on tour. You should check it out. And
she is, and I'm going to go because I said I would.
I know you Sucker. Locked yourself dun, in dun, before dun. You thought she would go on tour. You should listen to me when I have hunches on things, man.
I thought she'd be unemployed by now.
Dang,
I'm sorry.
All right, she's so talented, we're gonna talk about cheap gear versus. Now, I don't want to say good gear, because that's what it says on the board, but I want to say cheap. Let's say affordable versus no budget. Let's just say that. Or at least bigger budget. Let's say affordable versus bigger budget.
Like, we're talking about musical gear.
Yeah.
You know.
And any type of gear, like drums, everything. So it's all in the same kind of sense.
Yeah, depending on the type of musician you are, this can get pretty tricky.
Yeah.
Because some... Yeah, we have a drummer that's just buying a kit, and he ended up dropping like $5,000.
Yeah,
Jesus. So,
yeah, when he's done,
so
I feel bad for drummers.
But you know, that's what he wanted. He wanted to sound good.
Yeah, you can buy some cheap drums though. True,
you can. Yeah. They won't sound as good as his drums. But nope. So this is the thing: when you're starting out, you look at your heroes and stuff to see what they play generally. And that's the same thing that the artist said. When you're starting out with something, you generally try to emulate what other people have done that you like.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then you build off of that on your own way. Mm-hmm. So it works in the same way for artists as well as musicians and stuff. It's all kind of the same thing. Now, when it comes to affordable gear, everyone starts there. I recommend starting with affordable gear because gear doesn't make you sound better in the sense of make you a better player.
You know, this has always been my recommendation with the gear. And so I've had people ask me, like, what should I buy if I'm going to start out? I play guitar, so, and I sing. So sometimes I get suggestions on microphones, but on the guitar thing, I always say, you know, you don't have to spend a lot, especially if you're not sure if you're going to keep playing.
Yeah, I think you have to be at a certain level of knowing that you're really going to take it to some degree of...
Yeah. But I always say, don't buy something that is so cheap that you'll be discouraged. You don't want to buy a guitar you have to fight with that's just going to sound bad, because then you're not going to play.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying.
Yeah, because one of my friend's wife was going to buy a guitar for his birthday, and he's not a player. And she was like, well, what should I get? And I said, well, start at about $400 for an acoustic guitar. You can go up to $800, but don't go more than that. You know, but yeah, if you're dropping like $100 on an acoustic guitar, it's going to suck.
It's going to basically be like those little Mexican toy guitars that just go blink, 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 blink.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is affordable doesn't mean cheapest thing on the market. Affordable should be, you should have a budget of a couple $100. Regardless, because it's going to cost you that much. If you do acoustic guitars, I think mine was $400
Yeah.
Three. It was like $370
Yeah, $300 to $400 That's
I got a starter. I got a cheaper one.
Isn't yours a Seagull?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's from Breedlove. That's a decent... You paid more than that. You must have paid like
I paid like $300
Really?
Yeah.
Good deal.
I got it on sale.
That sounds nice.
No, I did pay... I paid $350 Yeah. I paid almost $400. Anyways, but... There's a part where you would, I think, get affordable gear and be fine with it, especially if you're not really playing with a band and stuff necessarily. Think once you start committing to a band and it's going to be something that you know you're going to stick with, you should invest in nice gear. And by nice gear, I mean you should expect to spend about $2,000 to $3,000 in gear. And that's not a question, and this is my problem. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when, because I feel like too many people settle with, like, a solid-state amp will never sound the same as a tube amp.
No.
That's not going to happen.
It won't.
And it's the same reason
don't
why...
Don't even let anybody try to convince you, like...
And it's the same thing with vinyl. Vinyl versus digital, is vinyl has been coming back as selling more because it sounds better, because it's analog.
Well... Digital versus, that's another discussion. It's a different discussion.
But it's less compressed. Solid state amps are compressed.
Yes.
Whereas tube amps have a little bit more warmth to them. Yes, they're more expensive to maintain and to buy, but I think it's better. Like, I just bought my first actual, like, guitar. Like, I think, I have guitars that are nice that I put a lot of work into, but this is my first one that was like a...
Yeah.
American made
Gibson.
Nice guitar. And I used to think Gibson overcharges. I used to think that. I bought one and I'm all like, Gibson didn't charge me enough. This thing is amazing.
Yeah.
And I dropped $1,000 on that. So, I mean, that's the thing, is I think when you're a musician and if you're going to be committed, you should invest in good gear, because I think in the long run it'll work for you. And it'll also actually, the more you invest in it in the first place, the less money you'll spend in the long run.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you have to be ridiculous, because we mentioned this earlier. You can spend too much. There's a cap where it's like, okay, now you're just doing it to do it. But
I think $2,500 is about guitar rig.
Typically for guitars, you know, there's that, when you cross that 800 into 1,000 mark, that's about where you want to be for something you're going to be playing like professionally or semi-professionally, you know, and you could probably get away with something around six, you know, something that's decent.
Well, my guitar's been around eight.
Yeah, well, my ESP, you know, is I think it lists for around eight, you know, and that's a decent guitar. You can put, that's doable.
Yeah. But if you walk into a studio with a producer, he's going to be like, no.
No, those are really solid guitars. I mean, I've worked with producers that you use.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's ground level stuff.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, some of the Ibanez stuff that metal guitar players use, if you drop $600 to $800 on an Ibanez guitar, that's a nice Ibanez. Yeah, that's a good one. But I mean, you know, when I went from, like, when I was playing my early bands, I used this kind of crappy Yamaha, you know, for years, you know, and thought that was fine. And then I bought my first American made Strat.
Yeah. And just, you know, just from experience in my own end, I started on a Fender Squire China, like, made.
Sure. Yeah.
And I could tell it was crappy. And then I bought the Epiphones that I put work into, and they're nice guitars. They sound nice. And they feel good. And then I bought the Gibson and I was like, I was like, it's not going to be that different. Go to a store and play like a $600 to $700 guitar and then pick up a Gibson. They'll let you play them. Pick it up and you'll be like, I can't afford this probably, but it's definitely going to show you that.
Well, again, my American made Strat is actually the thing plays great, but going from the Strat to the custom 24 Paul Reed Smith that I play, you know, that's a $3,000 guitar. You know, I think, but that's over the top. I mean, you can buy a good, cause that's all custom shop crap, but I mean, you can go, you know, with about $2,000, you know, on a guitar like that. And tone wise, you know, again, around the like Les Paul, same deal. I mean, Les Pauls will run you about $2,000.
Well, that's the ultimate guitar I want. Well, but that's it's going to be $2,500.
Right. Yeah.
I can't afford that.
Yeah. But if you're right around that $1,000 mark, same thing with amps. So, I mean, if you get a tube amp, you're going to want to buy a tube amp probably, you know, you guys, people are going to be pissed, man, but I'm sorry, but you're doing the whole emulators, you know, like, you know, line six amp. Well, it's great if you're sitting in your room, you know, and you're plugging into your computer. But you know what? Live, it does not sound the same. It doesn't sound the same.
So for those of us who don't play anything, what they're talking about is the difference between buying a Steve Madden pair of shoes to a Sam Edelman pair of shoes to a Prada pair of shoes to an Alexander McQueen. Alexander McQueen might be a little too much for walking around some dirty streets. Prada is the beautiful, beautiful shoe that will last you forever. Edelman is definitely good enough and is, you know, still pretty kick-ass, like good leathers and things like that. And Steve Madden has a big, ugly zipper on the back and sounds like plink, plink, plink.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Okay, so let's get the hell out of this thing. Okay, advice for this week.
So here is your mediocre advice from a decent human being this week. We're going to talk about impulse buys because we are at the beginning of con season. And I figured let's do something around conventions. And I was trying to think about what to do around conventions. And then I thought, you know what I just did? I just dropped a shit ton of money that I don't actually have on WonderCon.
Me too.
And how do I feel about it? You know? So, and the reason we kind of talked like that, the reason I kind of brought it up is because I was having a discussion with a friend about books and like, when do you buy versus just maybe go to the library or whatever with books and how it builds up. And then I was like, I'm going to bring this to tonight's podcast because we do the same at cons and it's like, when do you buy versus just appreciate versus, you know, gift? I don't know, like different things. So here is my quick advice on what you should do when you're at conventions. There is going to be some things at conventions that state that they are incredibly limited. And in fact, some of them are, but most are not going to be limited forever. They will do a second run. Maybe it'll have a just slightly different color. Things like that. So things to consider. Plus, some people are buying and putting straight to eBay. And when they realize that they don't sell for whatever amount, you can still get that item. So you don't need to have like the crazy, like need to have this. And the reason that we kind of want to consider that is because we're at fucking conventions. We're not buying medicine for our like diabetes. You actually don't need anything from a convention.
You don't buy Spock diabetes medication?
I don't buy Spock diabetes medication.
I do.
But I'm just saying it's not like a, you know, medical necessity or something like that. So nothing that we buy at conventions is something that we need in the sense of need.
Conventions are so impulsey, my God.
They're so impulse. You're just walking by. Everything's like really fun to look at. You're kind of in this whole mood to want to just own everything of like the characters that you like and things like that. And so I'm just going to say, here's a trick that I like to do. I like to take a picture of the item that I'm thinking I want to buy. I take a picture of the booth that it's at, and then I walk away from it. And what I decide is, if I want to buy it tomorrow, if I'm still thinking about tomorrow, then it was meant to be. And usually at conventions, we buy more than one day. Now, if you're doing this just on a one day trip, see it in the morning, go back before the end of the convention and buy it. But if you're there for 2 to 3 days, do your purchasing at the end. Plus, most people do sales at the end. Now, if there's something that you know is going to sell because you're already seen the line and everybody wants it and blah, 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 go ahead and maybe, okay, there's going to be some splurges, but maybe look online first and make the decision on what those splurges are going to be before you go in, things that you need to have, and then think about them because it's not like shoes, unlike the previous conversation that I just kind of tried to equate to shoes. a trick with shoes is to buy them, leave them in the corner, put them out, and if you have to put them on within that first week, they are shoes to keep. If not, you should return them. However, at con, you can't return shit practically. So that's the biggest sadness of the impulse buy at conventions. So my suggestion is just take pictures of things so you don't forget about the item. You don't forget about what booth it's in. You kind of can equate it to that. But then think about it all the way up until your last day at the convention or your last hours, and then go back and buy the things you want. Also, pick a budget and stick to it, or you are just going to go fucking crazy. Take cash with you so that you don't go over that one, and really commit to the fact that you only have these $100, say, for instance. Don't get things that you don't want to give up that $100 in the prospect that something better might come along. So yeah, I would just say have a plan, have a budget, take some cash, only spend that cash, and also have a food budget separate from that, because that will throw off your want and then you'll just swipe the card. Cause you'll be like, yeah, well, I spent it on food, you know?
Well, I think actually my advice on that would be, cause this is what I think I'm going to do for Comic-Con, is I'm not going to have my card on me.
That's a good,
and I'm just going to, I'm just going to take cash and I'll be like, you know, $100 for food today and $100 is for the convention.
Yeah.
Generally what I have done though is I'm pretty good. I think I normally buy stuff on the last day I'm somewhere, which is also a great thing to do, by the way,
if because you, it's a sales day.
Yeah. They sell.
Yeah,
but the only thing I think I bought on super impulse at WonderCon was the wallet, but she said that was the last one she had, so I had to buy it, I think.
Well, and that's something that you just have to ask about, you know, if it's the last thing. So I bought a couple of items. I'm pretty happy with all of my buys, but do I need them when I think about it? No. And I really want to go into convention season reminding myself, do you need this? It's similar to anything else. It's similar to buying shoes. It's similar to food. It's similar to, you know, the level at which you, you know, want to spend on your rent. It's all of that stuff. This is like impulse buy or impulse or just the feeling of materialism. Like that, that this advice spans further than just con, but specifically for con, I'd say go back on the last day, have some cash, and just, you know, really, really have a focus on what it is that you're going to go in and want to buy. Also research things that are there, if there are specials like that are exclusive to the con, and see if there's anything there that you want, because those are really the only things that are going to be potentially sold exclusive out.
Yeah, because they kind of screw you in. I've bought some stuff on impulse and gotten it home and went, or actually literally like you bought it for like way too much, and then walking around,
you don't even want to carry it anymore.
And I see the same thing for like $40 less. Well, and I'm like, wow. Yep.
My most wanted expansion was an impulse buy.
Was it really?
They charged me $40 and I could get it for like $26.
Yeah.
On that cool stuff. Of course, yeah. I had to pay for shipping, so it's probably like a $10 difference. So it's not like huge.
Yeah.
But I mean, still, it was an impulse buy. Because well, I got all excited because I saw you
Robbie,
buying stuff.
My Robbie Batman that I got at Comic-Con was a total impulse buy, and I spent way too much on the thing.
And how many of the things that you've bought at cons do you still display on your, you know, display at home?
I display mine, actually. All of mine.
All right, well, I've run out of room is what I'm at a point where I've run out of room. I've run out of wall space, things like that. And so I'm going to be,
that's why I bought the little circle one. See, I planned on that one today. Because I bought something that I knew wasn't going to be poster size. That's why.
But I know that feeling, you know, that great feeling you get when you pick up something. But
yeah.
And, you know, and I went apeshit on like X-Wing miniature game ships, you know, and you know, and I did not get any type of good deal on those. They were pretty much retail, you know, when I was buying them.
Also, we all have these tiny little computers in our hands called smartphones. Look up what the cost of them is outside of the con.
Great idea.
Now, here's the thing. These people are coming to the conventions, you know, spending their time here. They did have to pay a lot of money for this booth.
Yeah.
So that's why I strongly encourage going down the more independents, such as an Artist Alley.
Yeah.
Like that is the, I think those are the people to really give, you know, the other people are there. Yes, of course they want to sell and everything, but it's a branding exercise for a lot of these locations. Yep. Whereas Artist Alley, this is the only time that they might show in front of somebody that might have of interest. And this might be the only time you ever hear about this artist. So pay attention to the names at least. And, you know, kind of follow them on Instagram for a while. See what triggers you. I think that that's probably the best use of an Artist Alley.
Or what you can do is if you're into toys and you go to Comic-Con, look at the Mattel and Hasbro stuff and then plan on buying those because you probably won't get in line early enough and they'll hand out all the tickets so you won't get shit. I think that's a great plan too. Or Lego. Good luck with that. I'm serious. It's ridiculous.
I think the best thing to do is try to wait until the last moments of when you're going to be at the con. Take cash and stick to it. Don't count food as you're spending cash. Have a separate budget for that. And if you need to go so far as to leave your credit card back at home, leave your credit card back at home. And that's my advice.
And if you're questioning whether someone's famous enough for $30 for a photo, then don't get it. That's what I did at WonderCon.
And now we're going to move on.
Done that it was an too, actress from Farscape, and I was like, not that famous.
Great
and
advice.
So now let's move on to final words.
Final words, everybody. What do we got? We got some stuff coming up, right?
Guns and Roses.
We're going to Guns N' Roses soon.
Yeah. By the time we podcast next, we will have seen Guns N' Roses.
I think.
Yep.
Probably. This week and then next week.
Yeah, so because I have one more. Last week's podcast goes up tonight. This one will go up next week, and that will be the point where we see Guns N' Roses. So we'll have seen the reunited Guns N' Roses.
And I will kill myself shortly after we podcast so that I can never lose traction in my life.
Okay. Good luck with that.
And we will know how this season of Walking Dead wraps up.
Yes, and I have to watch all of them.
The 90-minute finale.
I'll tell you how it wraps up
next
Sunday.
But by the time you guys hear this, it'll probably be as it's being broadcast.
I think Walking Dead will finale the same way the last three seasons have finale.
All right.
With the town burning.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. All right. Well, everybody have a great week and start the con season well prepared. Take some hand sanitizer.
I know something funny to say, though. It's me and my lady thought last night was Walking Dead's finale. We made a mistake. So we were watching it like with complete tension, and there wasn't shit going on.
Did people walk a lot?
Because we were like, yeah. We're like, someone's going to die. So someone's going to, why is it so quiet? There's only 10 minutes left. Why? Someone's going to die. It was so funny.
That's hilarious.
I think about 5 minutes left. I'm like, are we sure this is the finale?
That is really funny.
I'm so dumb. Okay. So everybody.
I think that morning you were sending me IG-88 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like a full day of weird Kurt texts and day.
What's so weird about
I don't know, it was just a little like you were all like we need to play again. I was like, whoa man, you need help.
I was in nerd mode, man. I was cool.
I actually played X-Wing yesterday with Jaime at the end of the night.
Bastard.
Well, it was Easter, you know.
No, I know.
But I destroyed everyone with the
house. Did you really?
Dude. Yeah. Anyways, okay, good. Haley Reinhardt tickets go on sale Friday, everybody. I thought I'd help out my lady.
We're done. Dick butt.
You guys are done.
I'm still going.
Fresh Prince of Dick in my butt.
I love that.
It's so funny. I've sent it to everybody at work now.
Thank you. Have a great week, everybody.
Have a good week. Bye. Thanks for listening.
I'm never actually in the book. Never actually in the book. Never actually in the book. I'm never actually in the book. Never read a book from front to back of page to page. Never read a book from front to back of page to page. Front to back. Page to page. Front to back. Never read a many, not a single one in school. But then I enjoyed goodbye. Confessions.